Chapter 23 Redemption Motorcycle Club.
"Don't open that door if you know what's good for you," Dolorum warned the manager as another kick from the outside loosened the hinges. Trace trailed Dolorum at a dead sprint. Shocked faces met them at every turn as the bow-tied nerd and soaking wet drunk plowed through the cleaning crews of the nearly deserted Mexican restaurant. They held up at the glass front doors, Dolorum scanning outside.
"That's no good," he lamented. "They're all on this side of the street. I can't see where my bike is parked. But as soon as we go out, they'll be all over us."
"Maybe they've cleared out the alley and we can take the long way around," Trace suggested.
"Worth a shot."
As they turned back toward the kitchen area, the manager popped through the entryway, still gripping the phone. He opened his mouth and put up a finger, but Trace and Dolorum rushed past and right into the path of a dread turning the corner. The dread's eyes shot wide, and the telltale red glow around him intensified. Trace didn't hesitate. He didn't know what bestowal the dread was powering up, but the last thing Trace needed was another torching. Boosting his strength, Trace smashed the dread in the face so hard it caved in, sending his head through the drywall behind him and snapping his neck. The dread slumped to the ground in a shower of sheetrock dust. The manager pecked at his phone with his finger, hands shaking. Dolorum pried the phone away from the manager, dropped it on the floor, and then jumped on it.
"Sorry," he apologized.
Two apron-clad employees converged on the scene, cleaning rags in hand, forcing Trace and Dolorum to wade through them and out into a rear loading dock area. Rather than risk the noise of raising the loading bay door, they unlocked and pulled open the solid metal door next to it. The rear alley behind the restaurant was poorly lit and was part of the same alley where they landed when Dolorum had tossed him from the second-story window. Luckily, the desecration didn't stretch to the loading bay. A dark sedan purred behind the loading door of the Hammer Bar and Grill, and they could sense, rather than see, a malevolent presence behind the wheel. The car's lights were off, but light from inside the open loading bay revealed the mix of red and black auras around the waiting driver. Dolorum stepped back and let the door clank shut.
"My visions didn't tell me why you would be on a bus or in a bar full of dreads and shadim. What is going on? I've never seen dreads in these kinds of numbers. I suppose it has something to do with Trevex being demolished, but tonight I've seen a shed, and the driver of the car is a shed thrall. What happened today? Why are you here?"
Learning about shed thralls almost convinced Trace he was trapped in a nightmare. Creating a shed thrall required a dread, willing or kicking and screaming, to be brought before the shed. There, the shed ripped his new servant limb from limb and head from neck. Reaching inside the orphaned chest cavity, the shed would consume the thrall's heart and then knit the body back together with its dark power. From that moment, the thrall had 3 days of life and was controlled completely by the shed. With no heart, the only way to kill a thrall was to wait out the 3 days or immolate it completely. To fight one at night rarely ended in anything other than defeat. Only fighting a shed itself was worse. Trace swallowed. "They got the Ash Angel database, Primus. If they can decrypt it..."
"Yeah, I got it," Dolorum said.
"What were you supposed to do about it?"
"Just report when it was being taken out. The Michaels have cordoned off the area. If they can get a bead on the car, they can try to stop it. But this seems a bit too easy."
"There's nothing easy about a dread thrall." The same nagging mental itch that had bothered Trace during the Telemiran operation bothered him now.
"Look, unless they've got some secret road out of here, one of the sentries is going to pick up on a dread thrall going by. The dreads have relied heavily on baiting tactics lately. They know the Ash Angels are watching this area with everything they've got. They'll send in a bunch of Michaels to dance with the dread thrall at night, and all they'll get is a bunch of piles of ash," Dolorum finished, nodding his head.
The sound of an approaching car interrupted their conversation. Peering through the thick glass of the rectangular window set into the door, they watched the sedan speed past. They waited for a moment and then stepped out into the alleyway, ducking behind the cement stairs.
"You know the manager has found another phone and called the cops. They'll be here any minute," Dolorum warned him.
Trace peered around the edge of the steps and saw what he was looking for. A bullet bike pulled up to the loading dock.
Its driver was helmeted and auraless, but Trace marked the familiar gray suit. It was the man who'd just tried to drown him. Dahlia stepped out and handed him a satchel, which he slung over his back.
"They're using a normal to get the backpack out?" Dolorum said incredulously.
"Clever."
"I don't think that guy's normal," Trace said. "He told me he's lived for millennia."
"He's got no aura. There are no blank dreads."
"Maybe he's a blank gone bad."
Trace shrugged. "I don't know, but he controls the dreads and the Shadim somehow. He's got Primus. This is our shot."
The motorcycle engine gunned, tires squealing as the rider hurtled forward. There was no time for carefully planned strategy. Trace set his jaw, ignited his strength, and stepped out, clotheslining the rider clean off the bike with a hard strike to the upper chest, the rider's ribs snapping like dry twigs. With a loud, scraping whine, the bike skidded into the dirty brick walls of the alley, driver flipping midair and impacting with the street in a satisfying crunch. Dolorum hallowed the street around him, the rider screaming in pain as his dormant nerves flamed to life. Trace snatched the satchel, breaking the shoulder strap, and stomped the man's knee.
"I've got it," Trace yelled before the man could recover. "Run!"
Trace and Dolorum tore out of the alley between the restaurant and bar and grill as if shot from a gun, the man they had robbed of the precious package scooting awkwardly toward his bullet bike. The wailing of nearing sirens had cleared most of the dreads from the front of the Hammer Bar and Grill, but a whole pack of them charged out the doors before they had reached Dolorum's motorcycle, a powerful Harley Heritage with dual seats and black leather saddlebags.
"This doesn't exactly fit your persona," Trace commented as they clambered on.
Dolorum grinned.
"Hang on."
The Harley powered out of the parking lot with a guttural roar that echoed thunder through the empty streets. Dolorum angled around a corner to avoid the incoming cop cars that scattered the dreads in all directions. They hadn't gone far when the damaged bullet bike popped up in the side mirrors, approaching at an incredible clip. The bike didn't overtake them. In the light of the street lamps they passed under, Trace craned his neck like a fighter pilot trying to find a bogey. The man on the bike held the silenced pistol that had punched three holes in his heart. Trace yelled, "Gun!" But he couldn't be sure Dolorum heard him over the deafening roar of the primal engine gunning down the deserted city streets. Bullets spit from the pistol, pecking at the asphalt and buzzing past their ears. Dolorum juked the bike, Trace clutching the frame with a white-knuckled grip. The man juiced the bullet bike forward, but Dolorum threw their weight to the right, burning around a corner so aggressively, Trace thought the bike might slide out from under them. Before they straightened up, Dolorum punched it. The sudden acceleration nearly whipped Trace off the back. Two black SUVs moved down the street straight toward them, the red auras packed inside clearly visible to their ash angel eyes. The SUVs angled toward them on a collision course, forcing Dolorum up onto the sidewalk with a bump and a bounce that set the motorcycle to wobbling. They barely scraped past the front bumper of the lead SUV, and Dolorum had to throttle down until he could steady the bike.
"Sorry," he yelled. "Not used to passengers."
"Where are we going?"
"We need weapons."
No sooner had he mentioned weapons than a thunderous blast tore into their rear tire, shredding the rubber in a shower of smoke and sparks. Again, the bike wobbled, Dolorum decelerating, but unable to control the bike's fall to the pavement. Trace tumbled along the asphalt, pulling his limbs in close to keep his bones in one piece. He slammed into Dolorum and then the curb. The closing motorcycle and SUVs prevented any time to mourn the loss of Dolorum's ride. With ripped clothes and scraped skin, they scrambled to their feet and bolted down the street. The SUVs reversed, trying to turn the other direction. Trace scanned for a place to hide. Staying out in the street was suicide. They were in a more suburban part of town now, closed strip malls and fast food restaurants dominating an empty four-lane street.
"My place is about a quarter mile from here,"
Dolorum shouted as he jumped a hedge into a small parking lot. Trace followed him over. The motorbike and the SUVs punched it down the street, engines revving high. Trace trailed Dolorum to the edge of a one-story quilting store that was one of eight stores in the small business park. The dread vehicles barreled into the parking lot after them, suspensions bouncing as they accelerated over the curb.
"Use your strength and toss me on the roof," Dolorum said.
Trace made a stirrup with his hands, and once Dolorum stepped in, threw him farther than he should have. The old master flailed and landed hard on the roof. Trace secured the satchel and flared his strength again as the SUV's lights played on him. A dread hanging out the window pointed a bulky, metallic rifle at his back. Another deafening gun blast blew out the display window of Zuni's Quilts just after Trace vacated the spot with a leap and landed next to a scrambling Dolorum.
"That will set them back a bit," Dolorum said, beckoning him toward the back where the stores adjoined with others at the rear. The reversing SUV squealed away. "Now, we jump down on the other side, duck behind the McDonald's, climb a fence, and we're there."
"Where?" Trace asked.
"The Redemption Motorcycle Club."
With his strength, Trace jumped down from the roof to the parking lot on the opposite side with ease. Dolorum hung over the side and dropped down, rolling to absorb the impact. They continued their sprint, the dark SUVs tracking them from the street like hound dogs waiting for their prey to come back within reach. Trace and Dolorum raced through the McDonald's parking lot and clambered up a weedy chain-link fence.
"Welcome to my home," Dolorum said as they dropped onto the grounds of the Redemption Motorcycle Club.
Despite its glorified name, the building was nothing more than an unattractive sheet metal mechanic shop with a tan stucco building attached to the left side. A bright light shone on a sign that announced the club's name and sported a cartoonish logo of a motorcycle with twin halos around its exhaust pipes. A black cross hung above it on the apex of the roof. The worn asphalt was littered with loose gravel, and a couple rusty motorcycles leaned forgotten against a banged-up dumpster on the garage side.
"Quick, in here," Dolorum said, opening the side door of the garage with a key pulled from his pocket.
Trace followed Dolorum inside and shut the door. While they couldn't yet see their pursuers, the whine of the bullet bike and the growling of the SUVs announced their imminent arrival. In the dimly lit garage, a handful of motorcycles in various states of disrepair awaited attention.
"Any of these work?" Trace asked.
"A couple," Dolorum said, crossing to an oversized toolbox.
"You know how to ride?"
"Yeah." His dad had bought him and his brother dirt bikes, and they'd ridden them to death every summer.
"Is there a phone? If I could get a hold of Cassandra, we could get some help."
"Not in the garage. In the chapel there is."
"Ah, here they are," he said, sliding out the bottom drawer.
Instead of the hoped-for big blessed guns, Trace was looking at a set of polished Japanese katanas.
"You know how to use a sword?" Dolorum asked.
"Swords? The dreads have guns. You have any here?" Dolorum's pained face jogged Trace's memory. This was the man who had inadvertently killed Telemiren's dad with a stray bullet from a BBG.
"No guns," Dolorum said. "Give me your hand."
Trace held it out. Dolorum concentrated as Virtus traveled from Dolorum's body and into his. Trace's eyes flew open. He knew how to use a sword. Reverently, Dolorum lifted one katana from the drawer. Trace took the handle and swung the blade as if born to it, grinning.
"Not as good as a gun, but going all samurai on some dreads suddenly sounded more appealing."
Dolorum grabbed the other katana, smiling at him like a parent would at a toddler who'd just discovered ice cream.
"I didn't put much strength into the impart, so it will only last for a few hours. Let's call this Cassandra of yours. Phone's this way."
Dolorum apparently didn't believe in wireless phones either. As they crossed to the doorway into the chapel, the sounds of the approaching SUVs grew louder. The chapel was a simple affair, with a small pulpit at the front and three rows of white benches in two halves. Pictures of motorcycles lined the walls, instead of the icons of saints, but a cross behind the pulpit left no doubt as to the focus of the congregation. The phone waited on the wall across the chapel, a phone so old it had a squiggly cord. They ran toward it as an SUV's engine surged outside, headlights casting a brightening light through the single window at the front.
"Dolorum!"
The front wall of the chapel exploded inward as the vehicle rammed its way inside. For several seconds, splintered wood and debris peppered them, throwing up dust to mix with the beams of the headlights. A hurtling bench took Trace at the knees and knocked him to the floor. Dolorum dove behind the pulpit. Arms flailing,
Trace extricated himself from the debris and brandished his sword. Four dreads struggled to get out of the vehicle as the remains of the front wall leaned into the car doors. Trace pressed his advantage. Leaping clear of the debris, he landed on top of the SUV and began thrusting downward through the thin metal roof, the sounds of swearing dreads rewarding his efforts. Dolorum stepped out from behind the pulpit, but the dread in the passenger seat blew out the front windshield with a blast that sounded too big to be small arms fire. Dolorum dropped for cover. Trace shifted his focus and brought the blade down on the front passenger side, feeling the blade sink into something meaty. A blast of the gun aimed upward blew off a chunk of the roof and took part of Trace's shoe and his two pinky toes with it. Trace fell hard to the roof, and the dread driver threw the SUV into reverse, Trace tumbling over the top and onto the floor as it extracted itself from the debris. Scooting forward, he helped a battered Dolorum up. The two SUVs sat purring in a swirl of dust in the parking lot, dreads indecisive, the man on the motorcycle watching the conflict from the curb. Trace and Dolorum took cover out of sight near the door into the garage as the second SUV followed the example of the first and plowed into the chapel, guns ready. Trace pushed Dolorum into the garage. Their swords were no match for the guns. They ducked behind the heavy toolboxes as shot after shot from the powerful dread weapons tore holes the size of dinner plates in the wall.
"Let me touch your blade!" Dolorum yelled over the racket.
Trace extended his blade to meet Dolorum's hand, a flash of vertus coursing along the steel. He repeated the same process on his own just as the firing stopped.
"Look," Trace explained, "if I get torched, you're going to have to leave me. Call Cassandra and get the satchel to her. The number is..."
The dreads blasted the door open, and the first dread charged through, Dolorum cutting his gun cleanly in two before he could train the weapon on them. Trace beheaded the dread a half second after. The next dread, close on the heels of the first, lost his arms at the elbows when Trace chopped them off, the dreads stumbling backed into the other dreads in an attempt to get away. Dolorum hallowed the floor, white aura spreading outward. The injured dreads writhed, and the rest backed off. Trace kicked the half-ruined door shut and hit the ground as the dreads returned fire, randomly blowing holes in the wall again.
"I've exhausted my vertus,"
Dolorum yelled, pieces of cinder block collecting in his dirty blonde hair. Trace nodded.
"Those are not small caliber weapons."
Huge chunks of the wall skittered about the concrete floor. Dolorum pointed toward the other side of the garage, indicating the door they had come in. On hands and knees through a hail of gunfire, they scooted themselves and their swords across the grungy, oil-stained floor. As Dolorum opened the door, another SUV plowed into the closed automatic garage door, a move almost as ill-advised as crashing into the chapel. The heavy metal door draped itself over the front of the vehicle, and Trace and Dolorum slipped outside and slammed the door before the dreads could back out and recover. Using the beat-up dumpster as cover, they crouched and moved backward to the rear of the building, the dreads finally holding their fire. Walking with two missing toes took some getting used to.
"Do either of those two bikes by the dumpster work?"
Trace asked after they had turned the corner and leaned against the back wall of the building.
"I wish."
The rear of the Redemption Motorcycle Club was a weedy, graveled area littered with pieces and parts of torn-down motors and frames. A head-high chain-link fence encircled the back lot, but even in the dark, there was nowhere to hide. The side door banged open, and the cautious tread of boots approached their position. Dolorum motioned that they should return to a crouch, and the move paid off. A dread rounded the corner and fired off a blind shot that went over their heads. Dolorum separated him from his legs, ensuring he couldn't use the gun by chopping down on it, the divinely blessed blade cleaving it and its owner in two. The dread behind him took bead on Dolorum, but Trace bounded forward and sliced down, katana hacking between the neck and shoulder and diving into the chest cavity. Spine severed, the dread collapsed. A blast from a dread behind the dumpster took Dolorum in the left shoulder, slamming him prone on the gravel. Dolorum rolled toward the building to get out of the line of fire, useless left arm flopping around awkwardly. Trace leapt to his side as another volley tore his shirt and scratched his ribs. The dreads, incapacitated and in pieces, twitched in impotent anger. At least two others waited behind the dumpster. Taking a chance,
Trace used his sword to fish one of the dread weapons nearby and scoot it within reach. In structure, it was very much like an Ash Angel Big Blessed rifle, but more angular and less refined. He checked the magazine, finding 3 shots left.
"Take the satchel," he said, holding it to Dolorum.
"What are you doing? Seeing if I can put an end to this." Sliding the katana carefully in his belt and taking the gun in both hands, Trace offered a silent prayer and flooded his legs with strength. As if rebounding off a trampoline, he shot up into the air, angling slightly forward. From his elevated vantage point, he spotted 3, not 2, dreads huddled against the wall behind the dumpster. Balance off, Trace unloaded the 3 remaining shots in their direction, the recoil altering his trajectory. The first shot banged harmlessly against the tin metal wall, but the second and third decimated 2 dreads, caving in their exposed skulls. The third dread tried to pull his gun up as Trace arced down, but Trace's uncontrolled freefall terminated on top of him, mashing him to the ground. The dread wrapped him in his arms, pinning the rifle to his body. Trace kicked and rolled, trying to break free of the dread's grip. The dread's aura brightened. Trace awaited the return of the mental torture that had incapacitated him twice, but his body suffered instead. His skin wrinkled, his joints ached, and his hair grayed. Trace groaned. He looked and felt like a 90-year-old man. The dread rolled away and grabbed his gun, only to be taken down by a surging Dolorum, relieving the dread of his head with his katana before the weapon could be brought to bear. Dolorum rolled Trace over, eyes concerned.
"Well, old man," he said. "Rough night? You think that's all of them?"
Trace shrugged and sat up, aching.
"What did he do to me?"
"It's an affliction," Dolorum said, scanning the space around them. "It's actually a more common bestowal for them than spirit shock. Fortunately, they have to touch you for it to work. Let's see if we can borrow one of their nice vehicles." With his one good arm, Dolorum hauled Trace to his feet and leaned him against the wall. In his emaciated state, Trace was barely able to heft the gun. It was empty anyway, so he dropped it and grabbed another. Cautiously, Dolorum pushed open the door. The SUV sat idling in the garage. Out on the street, the man waited on his motorcycle, barely a shadow to Trace's aged eyes. Trace took a pot shot at him with the rifle anyway, the fierce recoil knocking him down. His dad often said he'd rather have a heart attack at 60 than grow old, and Trace was beginning to understand why. He felt helpless. The rider pulled off his helmet, reaching for his gun.
"Get in the SUV. Now," Dolorum yelled.
As they bolted for the SUV, the gray-suited man dismounted his motorcycle, gait disjointed. Trace was glad he'd kicked his knee. Shuffling as fast as he could, Trace crawl-climbed into the back seat of the SUV. A red aura flowed along the ground away from the man. He was a dread, all right. A blank dread.
"Here he comes," Dolorum warned,
popping it into reverse before the doors were even closed, tires squealing. Trace struggled against the inertia to get upright. His aged joints ached like a storm was coming. The man fired the pistol as they whipped past, blasting out the back window and pinging holes in the SUV. Dolorum flinched when a bullet nicked his already injured shoulder. Their backward retreat ended with a lurch as the SUV's back bumper decimated the bullet bike. Dolorum floored it. They were out.
"They can probably track this thing," Trace speculated by the nice GPS unit diligently updating their location on a map. "Yeah, I'll see if I can fix that. You see that rider back there? I'm not seeing much right now. I think his motorcycle's toast."
"Good." After a quick run down the street, Dolorum parked behind a grocery store, killing the engine and popping the hood. After several minutes and some clanging noises, he returned with a box that had seen the sharp end of a blessed katana.
"I think I got it. Where do we go? St. Mary's?"
Trace thought for a moment. "The dreads would have to be watching that place. We need to find a phone so I can call Cassandra. How much longer till dawn?"
"About 3 hours. I'll see if one of the dreads left a phone, but we've got to move."
Dolorum searched the vehicle. Trace grabbed the satchel from the front seat where Dolorum had dropped it and opened it. He sincerely hoped it didn't just have Girl Scout cookies in it. What he found in the expensive leather case allayed his fears. There was the large circuit board lined with rows and rows of memory chips. Wires dangled from one end, and it was strange to think how much trouble such a light, fragile thing had caused.
"Got one," Dolorum announced after rummaging through the console.
Trace knew exactly two Ash Angel phone numbers, Cassandra's and Lear's. He dialed both as Dolorum dove back out into the night, eyes sharp for the rider or more black SUVs. Neither person answered, and Trace wondered if the whole organization had gone dark, assuming that their secrets were now in the hands of enemies.
"They used to have a hotline back when I was in service," Dolorum suggested. 1-800-ASH-ANGL, or some such.
Trace tried it, surprised when a voice recording came back. "Please enter your aid and press pound."
"I'm not in the system," Trace felt like yelling.
How were they planning for him to be of any use at all when not having an aid crippled him for all practical purposes? Then a thought struck him. "Dolorum, do you remember your Ash Angel ID?"
"How could I forget? I needed it every 5 minutes."
Trace redialed and entered Dolorum's number.
"Please wait while the help center is reached. This is the Ash Angel's help desk, Aurora speaking. How can I help you, Talisman? I have you listed as inactive, missing."
Trace really didn't feel like explaining that he wasn't Talisman, so he said something that would get their attention.
"I have Primus. I need to get a hold of Cassandra."
"Really?"
Aurora answered, shocked.
"Really, please hurry."
"One moment, please."
Trace was subjected to the light, airy tones of elevator jazz until Aurora returned.
"She's not answering her phone. Her phone tracks to Lake Pleasant. Do you wish to contact the Medios?"
"No, I've got a Dread phone, and I've got to ditch it so they can't track us. Inform Arcus Magdalene that I have Primus and am on my way to Cassandra. We'll contact her in another couple hours. If we don't, then something has gone wrong."
"Okay."
Trace tossed the phone out the window.
"We've got to see if there's anything else they can track in here. I suggest you make a few weird turns. We need to get to Lake Pleasant."